Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. This week in crime, a World on Drugs production. I'm Steve Fury.
Saul Trujillo.
And we got another banger on our hands, folks. We're going to start this one off hot, January 21st, 2022. Teen accused of trying to kill jogger so he could keep his body to play with.
Like a cat or like fuck it?
What do you mean? I think it's the fuck it. This one's from Genotron at Oxygen.com. That's what he looks like. Very, let's describe him.
He's an incel.
He's definitely an incel. Everything you think of, kind of look like a blobfish.
Yeah, he's a Reddit boy.
He's
definitely
a Reddit,
guy, boy going down some subreddits.
He's not well. Logan Smith is accused of attacking a jogger while armed with an aerosol Axe deodorant can and the belt of a rope with hopes of using his corpse to fulfill his sexual fantasies. My man may be the worst rapist I've ever heard of. He went after a jogger with Axe deodorant can and a belt from a robe.
I mean, you try to MacGyver with
whatever you got.
What do I got? How do I get
Dollar Tree? What can I get here?
But also, it's like you don't have to. If he just wants to fuck fantasies, I'm pretty sure you get on Grindr and then you'll find someone.
Yeah,
someone will want. Yeah, I don't get it.
I bet he looked up how to rape someone and it just said get an axe and a rope, and then looked in his bathroom and he's like, yeah, I think I got that.
An axe and a raspberry.
Let's name some worst combos to rape somebody with. I would say wet noodle and dog hair. Yeah. Sushi in a cup.
I would go with a deodorant roller and a big gulp.
Yeah, lint roller and a big gulp.
Very random.
A Florida teenager is accused of tracking the movements of a man who regularly jogged past his home with the intention of killing him and keeping his corpse in his closet to play with. Logan Smith, 18, was arrested on Monday and charged with one count of attempted murder in connection with a failed strangling of a victim near Sam's Cocoa home, according to arrest report by the Brevard County Sheriff's Office obtained by Orlando outlet WOFL reports. Play with them. Saul, well, you have my dead body for a weekend. What are we doing?
Oh, weekend at Bernie's shit. Like, we're still going to go to the store. You're still going to do your set. I'm going to fuck around with your hands.
You're going to be behind the screen, the behind the... The curtains?
Yeah, I'm like, soup. I'm doing the soup bit. I have the strings and everything. Like, they're like, Steve is lively today. Look at him go. He's hitting. Like, your piece of your ear comes off and shit.
He's a lot better when he's drunk. He's probably drunk right now.
What about you? What are you doing? What are you doing with my body?
We're definitely going HOV lanes everywhere. I'm going to Irvine at 5 p.m.
That is very smart to have a dead body just in your seat just so you can get in the carpool.
1 week before his arrest, Smith had allegedly collected an arsenal of so-called weapons from his home. An aerosol can deodorant, a rubber mallet, and the belt of a robe before lying in wait for the victim. Rubber mallet?
What is that going to hurt?
This guy sounds like a clown. He's got some balloons. The defendant walked directly across the street where he hid behind a light pole. Like fucking Yosemite Sam.
They'll never catch the worst at hide and seek.
They'll never catch the guy behind a light pole with the mallet and a fucking axe deodorant thing.
He placed the mallet and the axe aerosol on the ground next to him while he waited for the victim to come running down the street as he regularly did for exercise. The defendant waited for the victim to run past the light pole and proceeded to run after him. The defendant then tossed the clothing rope belt over the victim's head until it was around the front area of the victim's neck.
Imagine just like an incel kid running after you with a rubber mallet. You're also a jogger, so I'm surprised he couldn't just outrun him.
Also, like, he's not very strong. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way he's staying inside the whole time. However, the victim was able to overpower Smith with martial arts.
You can't bring a rubber mallet to a martial arts fight.
You don't account that everybody does UFC now? Everybody.
I know. Imagine just you're about to take someone down and you're trying to rape Kamaru Usman.
That guy looks sexy. I want him. In a post-attack interview, Smith allegedly told investigators that he had been monitoring the victim's routine for the past 6 weeks. He allegedly claimed that he finally decided to kill him over watching Scream. Fox 35 in Sports Orlando reports. Investigators say that Smith intended to use the axe spray in the jogger's eyes, you know, as a way to disable him. I mean,
it's more likely to disable my nose.
Yeah, like this, the Phoenix one, it stinks.
Oh, it smells like high school gym class.
If you spray that in my face, it'll just make me stronger to want to beat you up.
It honestly smells like weed to me.
It's because it's usually people, it's teenagers trying to cover up the smell of weed.
And they just spray themselves with that.
Yeah.
Sowell, if you're going to have one disability, what would it be?
I would say one hand. One hand. I would only
off, or you got a little gimpy one?
Let's say the machete guy chopped my hand off from the last episode. The machete guy chopped my hand off. A gimpy one would be a nightmare. I'd rather have a story. I don't look. I was born this way with four fingers like that.
That's not as fun.
That's not fun.
You're like, oh, well, long story, but starts at a Dick's Sporting Goods.
He further planned to place the victim's body into his closet, where the defendant stated no one would know and the defendant could come and have his victim's body all to himself, the arrest report states. The defendant stated that he also planned to play with the victim to fulfill his sexual fantasies.
Smith is being held without bond. It's not clear if he has an attorney. We just thought it was odd that he wanted to go to the movies by himself, the boyfriend of Smith's mom told Fox 35. A person like Logan is more of a loner. The father figure, who has not been identified, described Logan as such. He wouldn't have been the kid you invited to the cool parties. Fucking roast by mom and dad.
I mean, here's the thing. You kind of hope for your kid to apply themselves. And when they apply themselves and fail, even if it's a rape, you're like, that's not my kid.
And it's also a stepdad.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, imagine, okay, let's say a TV reporter comes up to you and asks about your dumbass, dead body, fucking loser stepson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How would you burn him one last time?
That's this exact way. Yeah. This exact way. I'd be like, yo, I'll wash my hands with him. I don't know what he's doing. I teach him how to fight. I wouldn't say get an axe, body spray, and a rubber mallet. Don't get what's in the closet.
Rubber mallet. I love to. I would be like, yeah, oh, my son. You mean my steps? Well, I'd first go like, well, number one, he's not my son.
Right away, first and foremost, not blood.
Not blood. Do not know his dad. I am not him. Number two, are we talking about the same kid who jerks off in the same sock, leaves it in the living room? you want to start that one?
Yeah. Whitey Bulger killing was planned and took just 7 minutes, Justice Department says. You guys know all Whitey Bulger?
So Whitey Bulger essentially was the movie The Departed was about him.
Was it The Departed or was it...
The Departed.
Oh, okay.
With Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, that was a good-ass movie. So the murder of James Whitey Bulger was planned as soon as the notorious mobster had arrived at the prison in West Virginia, where he was found beaten to death, a Justice Department prosecutor says. The plot started with a phone call to the mother of Sean McKinnon, one of the men accused of in the killing, the night before the high-profile inmate's arrival. Assistant U.S. Attorney Hannah Nowalk told federal magistrate judge in Florida at a court hearing for McKinnon. Yeah, we're getting ready to get another high-profile person here tonight, McKinnon allegedly told his mother the day before the 89-year-old Bulger arrived to the U.S. Penitentiary Hazleton in Brewston Mills, West Virginia.
It's wild that the guy, like, the police can hear what you say in those things, and he still talks so outwardly, and he didn't hide anything. Also, wild he told his mom he was going to hit Whitey Bulger. What's the weirdest thing you've ever told your mom?
Definitely not that I'm going to kill a man. I think it was as a kid, and it was like the first wet dream I ever had. I was like, Mom, what is this that I woke up with?
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like a hard, she didn't explain it. She was just like, it happens sometimes.
I went to my uncle's, and I went to the bathroom right after him, and the toilet was filled with blood. I'm guessing he had bad hemorrhoids.
Oh.
And I thought he was dying, so then I... So then I went into the front of the whole party and I said, I think Uncle Bill's dying because he's pooping blood.
That means as a kid, instantly, you start pooping blood, you're dying.
A recording of that phone call was played in federal court on Monday by Nowalk, a transcript of which was obtained by ABC News. Nowalk said that as soon as they saw Bulger come into the unit, they planned to kill him. Sean McKinnon, 36, was charged by the DOJ last week in connection with the killing of Bulger. Nowalk said McKinnon acted as the lookout while the other two men, Fodios Freddy Geese, 55, and Paul DiCologgio, 48. That, I don't know if I'm having a stroke like Whitey Bulger or that.
A little bit of both.
Went to Bulger's cell and allegedly killed him. The name was DeColoGer.
Look, we don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell that.
Yeah, well, people can't say Trujillo. I'm not going to get mad at him.
No, I mean, you should know the name, McKinnon told his mother, according to the transcript of a phone call. Ever heard the name Whitey Bulger? Seems like someone should have caught that this guy was going to kill Whitey Bulger that night.
Yeah.
This is on a police in jail telephone.
Oh, they're just like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's
I
fine.
Think someone got pulled off.
Whatever, who cares?
McKinnon's mother warned him to stay away from Bulger because she was worried hanging around Bulger would get him in trouble, the transcript shows. Bulger, the leader of Boston's Winter Hill Gang, was on the run for 16 years before he was caught by federal authorities in 2011 and later tried and convicted. Before being moved to West Virginia Penitentiary, Bulger was housed in a federal prison in Florida.
Prosecutors alleged that a mere 12 hours after Bulger arrived at USP Hazleton, he was found dead in his cell. The killing, Norwalk said, took all of 7 minutes. Norwalk said that on the day of the murder, at around 6:07 a.m., the three men gathered outside of Bulger's cell, then went in and stayed there for 7 minutes, allegedly killing Bulger. By 8:07 a.m., Bulger was found dead by prison guards.
So what I forgot to put in here, what they did to kill him was they wrapped a sock around a lock,
like tied the end of the sock,
and they beat him to death with a lock attached to a sock. We'll just go on that one. That was a good one.
The admissions were from Polly that he and Freddie used a belt with a lock attached to it and beat Mr. Bulger to death, Norwalk told the judge in arguing for Mr. McKinnon's pretrial detention. There were also admissions from Polly and from Mr. McKinnon himself that they were collectively were the guys that killed Bulger and that Mr. McKinnon stood out as lookout as Freddie and Polly went into Bulger's cell and bludgeoned him to death in those 7 minutes that are recorded on the surveillance footage. Norwalk said that there are three witnesses whom the men told they killed Bulger. Holy shit, dude.
What a gnarly way to die.
That's a crazy... Like, it depends on, like, if they're just... If they hit him right away in the temple and he die right away, but there's no way.
That's not bludgeoning. They said bludgeoning. Bludgeoning is just like... Whack,
over and whack, over.
And they get these guys with a fucking lock.
In the lock in a sock.
Lock
that's how I
sock.
Definitely don't want to go out.
Yeah.
Lock in a sock.
That's two things. Lock in a sock. One, you don't want to go out that way. Two, you don't want to start a store that's based around other things.
Also, I just like that. That's a way better weapon to potentially rape someone with. That kid. That kid could have found a lock in the sock and gotten it done. And I'm going back to the other one.
Yeah, these guys can get these
in prison,
and you can't do it at your house.
I bet you they weren't like, we should get an Axe body spray and get this guy Axe body spray.
You got a robe?
A rubber mallet? Where do you even buy a rubber mallet?
Rubber mallets for like being in like finishing nails.
Feels like a craft store thing.
Monday, May 2nd, 2022. White supremacist gang leader and members and associates convicted on racketeering and murder charges. Five members and associates of the violent white supremacist gang, the 1488s, were convicted today in Alaska by a federal jury of RICO conspiracy, murder in aid of racketeering, kidnapping, and assault. I gotta say, 1488s just sounds like a racist name. I feel like racists are the only people that care about history.
Feels like just a time machine that they brought old white people back. They're like, I don't like this new time. Look, I don't like blacks.
I feel like any date before 1980 kind of just sounds racist.
It really does. Like, blacks and browns ain't
yeah,
welcome.
You could just hear, in 1967, I'm like, they were spraying down black people or something. I can just tell a horror.
They were sicking dogs on Mexicans. Yeah.
Yeah. Sal's dad got shot. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
What's one of the most racist things you've come across?
Nothing that crazy, just playful. Like, my buddy was dancing randomly drunk and just like next to like a Hollywood video. The cops got called and he just got put in the back of a cop car, stopped dancing just for being black. That was the most racist thing I've ever seen.
What was the dance, though?
Oh, he was just, like, dancing. He was just, like, dancing. He was just, like, fucking pop-locking. And then that'd be funny. The cops came, like, you need to stop. You need to be a better dancer. You're under arrest.
It was more of a disturbance of peace because you're terrible. Evidence presented at trial showed that the 1488s are a violent prison gang based operating inside and outside of state prisons throughout Alaska. Not going to lie, I thought everyone in... was racist in Alaska.
Me too. I thought that's where you go, like, if you're running from the law.
That's what I kind of, it's like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's, well, we'll talk
They
about
pay that. You to be in Alaska. You know that, right?
You
get a salary for just living in the state.
Imagine being racist while you're also, like, government funded.
if the government gave me money, I'd love everybody.
Yeah. Things are going pretty well.
The 1488s use Nazi-derived symbols to identify themselves as their affiliation with the gang, including a 1488 patch tattoo which depicts an Iron Cross superimposed over a swastika. The tattoo can only be worn by MADE members who generally gain full membership by committing acts of violence on behalf of the gang. The gang has written rules and conduct, a code of conduct, including the creed that the only currency we recognize is violence and unquestionable loyalty.
Pretty cool creed.
That's a pretty sick creed.
I'm
like, yo, tattoo it right here.
Yeah, I'll take that. Right.
That sounds fucking crazy.
Like we were talking before, I think Alaska should be like the new Vegas, where like anything goes, whatever happens, you don't remember. So if you're the governor of Alaska and you want people to go there, how are you getting people to come?
Casinos. You said exactly that. Casinos in Alaska. Like if I could play blackjack while looking at a seal, yeah, that shit would be tight.
Dude, you're just like, you're doing Mahjong while in an igloo.
A lot of Eskimo dealers.
A lot of Inuits in there.
Oh, my bad.
You're like, they just, instead of walking around with drinks, they walk around with whale blubber. I'm like, you can chew this for a while.
Evidence presented at the trial showed that Filthy Fiera, formerly known as Timothy Lobdell, 45, founded and led the 1488 gang from inside Alaska's maximum security prison, where he is serving a 19-year sentence for the attempted murder of an Alaskan state trooper.
Why does the Filthy Fuhrer sound like a fantasy football team I run?
He's like, what's a cool name? What a win can get me to win this season?
I don't know if I want to do the next one. I was going to say, why don't we come up with racist names for each other? We won't do that one. You want to do one? Okay. Sowell, why don't you and I come up with racist names for each other?
Swastika Steve is good.
That one's good. I'm going to go with the Wascally Wetback.
And we're friends in prison somehow?
Yeah, we're still friends in prison.
Swastika Steve and Wascally Wetback, dude.
The Fuhrer ordered members of the gang to commit violent kidnappings and assaults in the free world outside of prison. Trying to impose greater organization structure with non-incarcerated members, Fuhrer believed that some members were defying the 1488 code of conduct and diminishing the power and influence of the gang. Fuhrer sent out a trusted lieutenant with a list of directives. These directives culminated in the kidnapping and assault of two low-level gang members on April 2nd, 2017 and July 20th, 2017, and the kidnapping, assault, and murder of Michael Stanton on August 3rd, 2017. I'll say this. Most of the white supremacist cases that I see are a lot of times of them hitting their own members.
That is weird. The amount of like, oh, you didn't listen to me?
Yeah.
Stab him in the shower.
Yeah.
It's always like in the shower or in line trying to get food.
Have you ever had to fight a friend? If so,
yeah,
then why?
I've had a fight like in the neighborhood. I used to when living in Stockton. Just some guy was out of pocket. And then, I mean, he was bigger. I was going to lose that fight. And
but then you wouldn't have to fight again if you just tried
to
do it.
Yeah, yeah. But then like he ended up getting a branch, beating the shit out of me. Yeah, out of me with that branch. But yeah, I've had to fight a friend. And then after that, we just weren't homies anymore.
Yeah.
We just didn't hang out anymore.
Yeah.
You don't hang out with somebody who beats you with a branch. Yeah. Even after, I was like, I know you're going to beat me in a fair fight. You don't have to beat me up with a branch.
You also can't stand trees anymore. Not going to lie. Not a fan of foliage.
What about you?
I had my first fight with a guy I'm still friends with today. His name was Jesse Barba. It was in freshman year. We're just beginning to become friends. We just met on the football team. And I was making fun of a girl named Valerie, saying she looked like a chipmunk. And he lost his mind.
Why?
Because he had a crush on her.
Is it that he was like, don't call the chick that I think is hot a chipmunk?
Yeah.
Or he actually... I don't like chipmunk, Steve.
Yeah, he got real mad. According to evidence presented at the trial, 1488 members Roy Naughton, a.k.a. Thumper, 43, Glenn Baldwin, a.k.a. Glenn Dog, 40, and Coulter Odell, 29, worked with Craig King, a.k.a. Oki, 50. Damn, these motherfuckers are old, man.
Also, the nickname's done. Like, I don't like, I wouldn't, because like, Joe, call me by my real name. Don't call me a fucking nickname. I'm 56 years old.
I think I worked enough for a B called Glenn, who was a member of the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club to kidnap and murder one of the victims who had previously stolen from both King and the 1488s. King, lined a room with plastic where he and the 1488 defendants beat and tortured the victim. Baldwin and Odell then took the victim out to the woods, shot him, and burned his body. Odell earned his membership patch in the 1488s by committing the murder of Stanton. Jesus.
All right. Well, you know, what's up with this motorcycle gang? How you doing?
Yeah.
We're just reporting the news.
Yeah. I mean, they got a long way to go, luckily, to get us, but... Line the room with plastic fucking Dexter style. Saul, I invite you over, and when you come over, you see my whole house is lined with plastic. You don't want to believe I'd kill you, so what are you hoping is going to happen?
You're getting your room tented. You're getting the house tented. You know what I mean?
Like you got
fucking bed bugs or some shit. Like, I'm hoping it's not that, but as soon as I start seeing the scalpel next to, like, oh, this guy's going to cut me open.
I'm going to go, I'm the first one who arrived at the orgy.
He's always going to get real weird in here.
Get real weird, so I decided to not mess up the crown molding.
Some of these girls are on the rag, buddy.
The guilty verdict today strikes a significant blow to the highest levels of the 1488 gang, said Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite Jr. of the Justice Department's Criminal Division. The Department of Justice and our law enforcement partners remain committed to combating and dismantling violent white supremacist gang. Fuhrer was convicted of racketeering conspiracy, conspiracy in aid of racketeering, murder in aid of racketeering, kidnapping resulting in death, 3 counts of kidnapping conspiracy, 2 counts of kidnapping, 2 counts of assault in aid of racketeering. God damn, if that
it
don't get you life.
It just keeps going.
If that don't give you life.
A lot of kidnapping, versions of kidnapping.
Non was convicted of racketeering conspiracy, conspiracy in aid of racketeering, murder in aid of racketeering, kidnapping resulting in death, 3 counts of kidnapping conspiracy, 2 counts of kidnapping, and 2 counts of assault in aid of racketeering. Baldwin, Odell, and King were convicted of racketeering conspiracy, conspiracy in aid of racketeering, murder in aid of racketeering, kidnapping resulting in death, and kidnapping conspiracy. All 5 defendants face a mandatory sentence of life in prison without parole.
They just love to kidnap people, dude. They love it. It's their favorite thing to do. It sounds like every single thing was kidnapping.
I mean, the crazy one, man, is that one of his lieutenants just got out of jail, and then he sent that guy to go do this shit to just go immediately back in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You're a part of this organization. You know what it is. In, out, you're in the gang regardless. So if you're out, they don't give a fuck about you going back in.
Yeah,
just go take care of this.
Probably because you want to go back in lightweight too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if that's all you know, and especially if you have any sort of power inside, you're nothing on the outside. Like, you're nothing on the outside. If you have nothing, if they didn't set you up, or even if, like, the institution that you're in has set up so you have nothing on the outside, but you're very powerful on the inside, that makes you extra dangerous outside. It's crazy.
All right, that's episode 7. Thank you very much. Great
Hell
doing
yeah.
This Week in Crime. Shout out to Tony, John Sosis, Comedy Store Records, Comedy Store, and as always, West Coast Gardens. If you're trying to smoke on the loudest pack available, the stuff that Saul and I get stoned on almost every single day of our lives.
Oh, it's just the haze is so good.
Then go to your local cannabis club and ask them for West Coast Gardens. Some of the best weed you can do. I'm talking the ash is white. It sticks on your blunt. Every one is better than the last. I love all they're doing. Thank you, West Coast Gardens. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Saul. See you on the flippity flop.